Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in a Thursday edition, NBA Draft Day edition of the Hoosier Report. Lee Kelly is with me, and today we are not in our friendly confines of the Big X Sports Radio studio. We are on the road, and we are sitting courtside at the Doghouse at New Albany High School. Of course, the New Albany High School Gymnasium, for those of you that don't know it by its famous moniker. And Lee, the reason to be here, I guess, is twofold. We've got the final day of the Kentuckiana Summer Basketball League that begins right about the time we're ending the show today at noon. The first games begin at 12:30, both gyms here at the high school. And, of course, later tonight, there's this great basketball player that we all have become to know and love over the last number of years, who very likely will get drafted by an NBA franchise tonight up in New York. And so we thought we'd make it a Doghouse Day on the Hoosier Report, and here we are.
Yeah, it's we've waited for this day, I don't know for how long, maybe 5 years. Maybe you go back to his freshman year and you think, man, could he be the first Bulldog to make it to the NBA? And then each year progressed, and so did he. And in the meantime, we learned what an outstanding player he was, but we also learned what an outstanding individual he is. And the people that knock Romeo, I've got to believe, have never met the young man, have never seen the young man in action with little kids and grandmothers. And it does irritate me when people do that, just because he's more than just a basketball player.
Absolutely. So. And I was out sick yesterday, still not feeling up to 100%. So yesterday was kind of a whirlwind for me. But being laid up, I guess one of the benefits was I got to kind of follow all the day before the draft stuff going on. And I tell you what, we talked about this some before we came on the air today. I'm not sure in the draft, as we are really hours now away from the NBA draft tonight, I'm not sure that there's a player in this year's draft, at least one that's expected to go in the first round, where the bottom and the top, the floor and the ceiling for where they could be picked is so opposite, depending on who you listen to and who you want to believe. There are some that think Romeo could be, you know, as low of a pick as number, 12 maybe? And others that say he could be 21. I saw Sports Illustrated and Jeremy Wu had him 22, 21, something like that. So it's all over the place, which is going to add to the drama and the suspense for later today. But there's no question about it that we'll take whatever. It's just going to more interesting to see where he actually does land.
Yeah, wherever's best for him is fine with me, certainly. So wherever he's going to get some playing time, wherever they've got decent players that he doesn't have to step in and assume a role like he did at IU. I mean, give him some time, let him acclimate himself to that environment, and we'll see how things go. But I saw somebody had him down at 7th this morning.
Wow.
Just briefly glancing through, and I can't even tell you now who it was, but somebody had him way down low. Somebody even mentioned him in that number 4 New Orleans pick. But I think that's really a stretch, but we'll see. I've probably paid more attention to this NBA draft than any in the history in my lifetime.
I would say that many other people in the area are the same way. In fact, we always talk about the Louisville TV market, how it's one of the best outside of a market that actually has an NBA franchise as far as tuning into NBA Summer League and tuning into the NBA draft and tuning in to NBA playoffs and other big days for the NBA despite not having a local team. I have to think that if you could do it per capita, that probably no city would have a better turnout supporting the NBA draft and television viewership tonight than what New Albany and maybe even all of Southern Indiana will have. So it's going to be fun. I know we got Summer League today. I'm going to tell you the schedule of that here in a little bit, but that's one of the questions I've had from everybody. Are you going to have the draft on at the Summer League? You are at New Albany High School. It's like a religion to have the draft on and follow Romeo Langford. So we'll see. But yesterday, just a couple things. I know there was a lot of movement. Well, I don't want to call it movement, but there were a lot of guesses and predictions. You said someone had him as high as 7th. I think 21st is one of the lowest ones I've seen here recently. But a lot of activity away from that stuff for Romeo as well. Yesterday he was involved in like a junior NBA skills clinic with kids on ball handling. There was some video of that, which was great to see him working with some of the young kids the day before he will be drafted by an NBA team. And I guess you could say the commercialization of Romeo maybe has begun officially, because Romeo sent a tweet out yesterday to his masses and masses of followers that he has a new shirt, or a shirt for sale, limited edition, $19.99. And the shirt's really cool. It's got Romeo in a really cool font. It's got almost a cartoonish character of Romeo in the shirt, or above the inside the shirt. And then the state of Indiana outlined, and there are a number of things inside the text inside the state of Indiana. New Albany, one of the biggest ones, home of the Jackson Five. We know Romeo's a big Michael Jackson fan. Harvest Homecoming, some other local things to his upbringing in New Albany. So pretty cool shirt, and I'm sure that they're limited edition. I'm sure that they are probably gone, or are almost already gone, knowing how people support Romeo Langford. But it does remind you that in addition to the NBA draft tonight, we're going to see him become someone that makes endorsements, very likely. Somebody that signs a shoe deal, very likely. So there's a whole bunch of other things that come with officially becoming a professional basketball player and having an NBA contract. So it's going to be fun to see some of those auxiliary things that happen in addition to the decision tonight.
Yeah, and the trades, listening a little bit last night before I went to bed, they were talking about they expect a great many trades. They expect people to be dumping. Boston, one they mentioned in particular, Atlanta, another that has, I think, 3 picks in the first round, and not necessarily want 3 picks in the first round. Would like to trade it for maybe picks in next year's draft or something else. Anyway, a lot of different things going on tonight at the draft, in addition to the name selection by each of the teams, and it's going to be interesting.
I tell you what, I'm looking at a Rick Bozich WDRB.com story that he had yesterday that kind of summarized, at least at that point, where Romeo is expected to go. And according to kind of a compilation of 7 different mock drafts, Romeo projected to go number 12 to Charlotte. I would take that because that's obviously in the lottery. Charlotte, I think, is a reasonable destination to get to for a lot of fans that might want to see him. And I think they've got some holes where he could find some playing time there. I think he'll probably, in the range he's going to go, he's going to find some playing time no matter what his destination is. But, again, you mentioned some of the storylines tonight for the draft that it's hard to say because we don't follow the draft every year like we are this year, but this does seem to be a trade-heavy draft, and the likelihood for trades could really throw things for just a crazy evening, it sounds like, if you listen to what some of the people that do cover the draft all the time say. And then, of course, the other storyline to kind of recap, Romeo Langford with so many different projections on where he can go. I don't know what else you need for some drama tonight. Trades, a low ceiling, a low floor, high ceiling. He's got a lot of different projections on where he could go. It seems to me like this has all the makings, not just from a local perspective, but because of the potential trades, to be just an outstanding draft to follow and watch at home.
Yeah, and already you've had some. The Lakers, obviously, I think they traded every player on the roster not named LeBron James, and possibly even the water boy went in that trade down to New Orleans in order to get the unibrow. So I don't know what they're going to do from there. Last night we saw, and I think we talked about this over at the News and Tribune Award ceremony, that Mike Conley is going to Utah, and they gave up three players in that draft or in that on that roster. So it started, and I think it's going to be really interesting. And as we say that, you know, there won't be one trade tonight. You know, we'll go through the whole show because everybody's been talking about it. Won't happen tonight now.
And of course, earlier this week, the last day that I did a show, being out yesterday, we had Greg Doyle Tuesday. That same day, he had a column on Romeo and why it made so much sense for him to go to the Indiana Pacers at the number 18 pick if Romeo is still available for that number 18 slot when it comes up. I have mixed opinions on that. Greg and I talked a lot about it. I know there's been a lot of reaction to that column that he wrote. What are your thoughts on that? If he's still available after the number 17 pick has been selected, would you like to see him go to the Pacers, or would you prefer to see him go somewhere else?
I would prefer to see him go somewhere else. I think he's been through enough pressure in that year at IU. I would like to see him go somewhere else. And I, first of all, I'm not a big NBA fan. I don't have anything against the Pacers. I just don't follow them. But I don't follow anybody. If I had a team, it would be the current Golden State team, but I am a bandwagon guy. It depends on who's playing. I love right now watching the roster that plays for Golden State. When those guys are gone, there's no guarantees from there. So, but I think that would put an awful lot of pressure on him to be fantastic immediately. And I think that's just a lot of pressure that he could do without at this point.
Yeah, no question about it. Romeo Langford, NBA draft coming up tonight. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch, and who knows where he's going to go. It could be an interesting night if some of the trades and other things do take place that have been kind of projected and guessed by those that are following this thing very closely. And from what I can tell, talking to Jim Shannon earlier today, there's a whole day of activities, really a couple days of activities leading up to the NBA draft tonight. Romeo, I mentioned, was part of that junior NBA deal where he did some ball handling with some of the local or some of the young kids locally there. And then I know today there's a luncheon and some other events for the players and their families leading up to the event as well. So interesting stuff, an interesting day, I'm sure, for Romeo and his family. And you mentioned this kind of at the start of the show, but we have been thinking about this and wondering about this and talking about this now for a number of years. You know, everybody hypes up players younger and younger and younger these days. And so when Romeo was even coming through the middle school ranks and dominating players and showed some great skills and ability, I think that's when the discussion by maybe those that are quick to hype players up began. Hey, could this kid be, you know, the best player to come from New Albany? Could he be a Division I player? Could he be an NBA caliber player? And then as he got into high school, and especially I think that state championship year, that's when it all came together that, my goodness, this kid is getting better. He's improving. He's growing. We knew he had some talent and skill and ability to him, but he was beginning to put it all together. So interesting to see that he's come full circle now, and something that we have thought and wondered and talked about, and you know, went from kind of being hey, do you think he can make it, to all of a sudden it became a point where you know he could, and now that day is going to happen. So it's kind of full circle, no question about it. And here we are, NBA Draft Day 2019. So we're going to head to a commercial break. When we come back, Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall is going to join us. And, Lee, I bet everybody can guess what we're going to talk about. Romeo Langford and the NBA Draft will dominate a lot of our discussion. Lee Kelly, Matt Dennison, live from the doghouse here at New Albany High School. We're celebrating Romeo Langford on NBA Draft Day 2019, and the final day of the Kentuckiana Summer Basketball League here at the Doghouse. Games start at 12:30 in both gyms. We've got a number of varsity games that will take place today. Here in a little bit, we'll give you the full rundown for some of the big games of the day in case you want to get out and watch some summer basketball at its finest. Stay with us. Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall is next. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back. Matt Dennison, Lee Kelly here at New Albany High School, the Doghouse, in celebration of Romeo Langford on this NBA Draft Day 2019. It's also the final day of the Kentuckiana Summer Basketball League. We've had, 250 or so games here so far this month, and everything culminates today here at the Doghouse. And then, of course, everybody leaving the Doghouse, I'm sure, to find their place to watch the NBA draft tonight. Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall, he is always with us on this Thursday program. And, Alex, I know you've been following this closely. You have a projection. What do you think? What makes sense for Romeo Langford tonight when the NBA draft gets underway? Where do you think the possibilities are that we could hear his name called?
Yeah, I mean, I'm talking to a lot of people, and we had a podcast yesterday where we talked to Scott Agnes, who covers the Pacers for the Athletic, who pretty dialed in to their situation. It seems like right now the most likely range for Romeo is late lottery to about 20. And obviously there's a long list of teams and possibilities and trades and things like that that could happen. But, you know, in terms of where I would like to see him go, some teams in that range, you know, I like Miami at number 13. I think we've talked about this before. I think they have a really good organization there. It's a franchise where I think he could grow into a role over some time. I know we have a good coach, and obviously Pat Riley knows how to build a championship team, so I wouldn't mind him seeing him going there. And then also, you know, I like Atlanta at 17. They acquired a pick number 17, and, you know, they have something good going, I feel like, with Trae Young and John Collins, a young up-and-coming team. I think that would be a cool spot to see him go. The Pacers is interesting. From talking to Scott on the podcast yesterday, I don't get the sense that the Pacers are going to draft Romeo, although that's been projected in some places. I just don't, just from what he said on the podcast yesterday, he didn't come out and fly out say that they wouldn't take him, but he said he would basically be surprised if they did, if he's on the board. And another place that I've seen projected is Boston at number 20 by a couple of people, and I think in terms of just organizational fit, that would be a pretty good spot for him. But, you know, the one I've talked about I necessarily don't want to see is Detroit at 15, and unfortunately that's one of the places that's been heavily linked with him. I just, Detroit's situation with its some of the salaries it has on the books with Andre Drummond and Blake Griffin, and, you know, they just feel like a franchise that doesn't really have a direction at this point in time. So that one to me would be a little bit frustrating just in terms of where I'd like to see him go and a chance that maybe he could prosper. But you know, I think he's probably going to be happy with wherever he ends up, and I think we're all pretty curious to see what happens outside of, you know, the top three set at this point. With Zion, John Morant, and R.J. Barrett after that, I think it could be interesting. And the other thing I think you have to consider here is, you know, there's been a lot of talk about Romeo's stock falling, and some of that could be just teams trying to, you know, talk him down, and maybe there's a chance he goes a little bit higher than we're all projecting. You never know with this draft stuff. There's a lot of misinformation being put out there, and ultimately I think he deserves to leave the lottery, and I'm hoping that's what happens.
Yeah, of all the cities you mentioned, I agree with you. Detroit would be my last choice to see the young man, not just from the standpoint of the team, but the standpoint of the city. Miami sounds pretty enticing. Atlanta, other than the traffic in Atlanta, is pretty enticing. So I hope he goes, and we talked about this earlier in the show, I hope he goes somewhere where he gets some playing time but doesn't have to step in and expect it to be a star right off the bat. And I hope that's the way it works out. But first of all, I'm told by people far more knowledgeable than me that general managers and people associated with these teams lie like dogs about this time of year, about what they're going to do and who they're looking at. And then you throw in all of the trades that are being leaked that could happen. And it's going to be pretty interesting tonight, I think, at this particular draft.
Yeah, I mean, the best thing really to do for the draft tonight, you know, Matt, you talked about people sitting down in front of the TV. It's really the best thing to do is get your Twitter feed open and follow Woj and some of the other guys like Mark Stein of the New York Times that are really dialed into this stuff, because if you just watch it on TV, you're going to be behind, obviously, as to what's happening. And also trades are happening. And oftentimes the one thing I've been frustrated with watching the ESPN coverage is they don't necessarily talk about the trades, and so a guy will be drafted by a team and then he's going to be dealt to another team, and so you go up there and you see him doing his interview and his Utah Jazz hat, but in reality he's going to be a member of the Magic. And so it's always good to stay on top of things on Twitter, just to really know what's going on, because let's face it, that's, you know, the information tonight is really fascinating, how fast things change and how deals are being made and struck all the time. So to me, that's where the real action happens. It's fun to watch, you know, the guys walk up on stage and shake hands and all that, but really the real action is going on Twitter throughout the whole night. And I think it's interesting, last year I think ESPN tried to handcuff Adrian Wojnarowski a little bit because they didn't want him putting stuff on Twitter to spoil things, and then the other reporters started putting stuff on there, and so then he used a bunch of creative phrases throughout the night to kind of try to hint at things. And this year I think they're just going to let him go and let him do his thing, so you can have the TV on and also have your Twitter feed refreshing, and I think it'll be an entertaining night, one of my favorite nights of the year, just for all the information and trades and stuff that come out.
I was just getting ready to ask, how will Alex Bozich take in the NBA draft? But I think I have a much better picture now with what you've described. Woj on the Twitter feed, a big screen TV, an ice cold drink, and Alex Bozich watching the draft. It all makes sense now.
Yep, that's how I'll do it.
Alex Bozich is our guest. Alex, of course, is the editor of InsideTheHall.com. And Alex, I guess as we sit here at the doghouse, it's an empty doghouse right now, but it'll be full later this afternoon here in the next hour or so with summer league basketball. But I have to think back, with you being a New Albany guy, a graduate of New Albany High School, at what point can you recall hearing Romeo Langford's name, and at what point along the way was the first time you ever had the opportunity to view him? And furthermore, maybe what was the point where you thought, okay, this is the real deal. He does have a chance to be a big-time college basketball player. He does have the chance to be an NBA player. Can you recall any of those moments?
Yeah, I mean, I know I saw him as a freshman in high school. I'm not sure I saw him before then. I know people talked about him going back to middle school, elementary days, and that we may have had a conversation going back several years about him. But in terms of when I knew, I would say after that Southport game in semi-state in his sophomore year. I wasn't at that game, but just watching the video of that and how thoroughly he dominated that game, that was when you kind of got the sense that he was going to blow up on a national level. I think at that point he was in the rankings, but he wasn't, you know, that top five, top 10 guy in terms of the national rankings. But after that is when, you know, and then he obviously led New Albany to state championship the following week. But I think that Southport game is kind of what I look back on and say, wow, that was just a hell of a performance. To score 46 points in a semi-state game against a team that, if I recall correctly, had Paul Scruggs on it and Joey Brunk. So it was a pretty good Southport team, and he pretty much single-handedly dismantled them. And I think that's kind of the one moment that I look back on and say, wow, this kid's got a chance to be special. But, yeah, I mean, I remember hearing the name back when he was in elementary, middle school, and then I think I finally got a chance to see him play his freshman year in New Albany, and I've followed him pretty closely ever since.
Alex, there's been a few players here in the last couple of days, and we've been concentrating on Romeo moving up, hopefully, in the draft. But there are some other names, a couple of Kentucky players, a couple of other players that at least some of the teams are letting out that they're very interested in these particular people. Have you heard any names that you feel like could move up in the draft or be a surprise pick? There's always somebody that comes out of nowhere, it seems like. Have you heard any names from reliable sources?
No, I'm really curious though to see where the two Kentucky guys go, Tyler Hero and Keldon Johnson, because you know both of those guys and some of the projections now are being slotted ahead of Romeo. And to me, and this is just my biased opinion, so take it for what it's worth, I have a hard time believing that either one of those guys are going to be better NBA players than Romeo Langford. And to see them in some of these projections, that's kind of when I scratch my head and wonder, is some of this stuff coming out because there's a team that's maybe in the late lottery or, you know, 15, 16 range that really wants Romeo to fall to them so they can get him. And so they're kind of giving out, you know, information that says that they're not really interested. You know, that you mentioned, this time of year is when these guys lie more than anything else. That's true. I mean, they, you know, after you don't have much control after, you know, if you don't have a top three pick, I mean, you're basically at the mercy of you know what these other teams in front of you are doing, and anything you can do to kind of put a smoke screen out there and let somebody know that you're not interested or kind of you know try to I guess circumvent the process and maybe have a guy fall to you is what you're going to do. So that's kind of what gives me pause with Romeo. So I've seen him as low as 25 on some mock drafts, and to me that's just crazy that he would even the possibility that he wouldn't fall that far. So that's I'm more intrigued tonight just to kind of see who rises up the board. I think Ty Jerome, the kid from Virginia, is going to be an interesting case. You know, he left school early and won a national championship last year. I think he's being projected maybe a little bit lower than he's actually going to go. I think teams are going to value him. The other kid that's interesting, I know both of you have seen play, I've seen projected now as high as number 13, is Darius Bazley, the kid who played for Princeton, Ohio, that came into the doghouse a couple of years ago, and Romeo outplayed him. And if you remember, he didn't go to college and kind of spent last year taking some time off, but he's kind of rising late. And the interesting thing with him and Darius Garland is both of them really didn't play last year, and now all of a sudden they're moving up, and Romeo's situation is, you know, he played through an injury last year, and he's being picked apart for it. So that's kind of the unfortunate thing, you know, that Romeo's being a little bit penalized for playing through an injury. And so hopefully at the end of the day, some of these teams kind of look at the full body of work with Romeo and remember that, you know, when he was healthy, he was one of the better players out of anybody in this draft, and I think hopefully that's what will happen.
Alex Bozich inside the hall. Alex is always with us Thursdays here on the Hoosier Report. Alex, enjoy the draft, and we'll talk to you again next week.
All right, guys. Have a good one. Thanks.
We got to fit in a quick commercial break, but we have run down Don Unruh, New Albany's outgoing athletic director, as he made his way into the doghouse today. We're going to catch up with him and talk Romeo Langford and other topics as well. So stay with us for a chat with Don Unruh coming up next right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Lee Kelly with me. We are live at the doghouse at New Albany High School in celebration of Romeo Langford on draft day, NBA 2019. It's also the final day of the Kentuckiana Summer Basketball League. We'll have that full schedule. A lot of varsity games. In fact, we are less than an hour from the tip-off of some of the first games of the day. A very large day to wrap things up in the KSBL for 2019. We just never know who you're going to see. Coach Don Unruh is with Lee and I. Coach, I thought you were retired, but you're still here. You're still working. You're still checking on things here at the doghouse today. And so we grabbed you and said, come on with us for a few minutes. But how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Matt. I'm surprised to walk in to see you guys, but it's good to see you. My official retirement date, let's see. B.J. McAllister takes over as athletic director on July the 1st. And I've been in the office for over 20 years. And so take me, I don't know how much time to get everything cleaned out of there for him. So that's mainly what I've been doing. And, of course, there's still some schedule things for the fall to kind of finish up contractually. And, you know, the big thing right now is that the SIEC, which New Albany was an original member, and I'm sure that the listeners might already know this, but they took Jasper and Vincennes, joined the SIEC. So that gives them 10 schools and 9 football games. And, of course, the IHSA allows 9 football games. So in 2020, the fall of 2020, our first two games were with Evansville Harrison and Castle. And now it's no longer with Evansville Harrison and Castle because they will be starting the new SIEC. So we lost 2 football games, and everybody can tell you that it is very, very difficult to find 1 football game that's open, much less 2. So that's been a lot of my time. That's how I got in that direction. But it's been a lot of my time contacting schools, looking at the schedules of the 2 schools that were taken into the SIEC, and trying to find weeks 1 and 2 that every Evansville school played, and contacting, trying to find schools that are open and trying to fill in. So BJ's not scrambling around right before the football season starts of the following year. Not this coming fall. We're set to go this coming fall.
Yeah, scheduling and I guess changes in conferences. Fans probably have no idea. No one probably has any idea how much it can affect things from a scheduling standpoint, and what a pain it is to find. I mean, you say, well, you think, what's the big deal about just finding a football game? There are many, many challenges that you go through, especially with football in our state, to find games.
Exactly. Columbus East needed a week 3 for this coming fall and ended up going to Ohio someplace, I think, to find a game. Wow. He searched and searched. So,
well, Don Unruh is our guest. Don is the outgoing athletic director, former basketball coach here. Before we talk a little bit about Romeo Langford, and I know you've had obviously an up-close and personal chance to get to know him and watch him over the years, congratulations as well on the Netsby's Lifetime Achievement Award that you were honored with earlier this week. We got a chance to talk with you before that program, but really neat stuff. Great video that they put together to kind of celebrate your career, but great accomplishment. Very well done.
Thank you very much, Matt and Lee. You know, that was just really a special night, and the News and Tribune did it up right, and with you guys being live before, and it was pumped into the auditorium there, and people could see the different athletes and possible recipients. And it was just very, very nice evening. And the video, I was really taken back by the video. The girl that put that together, she and Craig, that turned out very professional. And then they had Lamont, and that was who played for me in 1996. He came on and said a few words, and Coach Shannon and Coach McIntyre. It was just very nice. And had my family with me there at the awards, and they really enjoyed it too. It really was a good night, and well done, and couldn't ask for any more.
Yeah, well, congratulations. Romeo Langford tonight. We'll find out where he goes as far as the NBA draft is concerned. Did you ever think in your coaching career, your athletic director career, that from New Albany High School, with all the greats that have come through here, athletically, academically, and otherwise, did you ever think we'd have an NBA basketball player that you'd see drafted from this program?
Boy, I tell you, we've had a lot of good players, but this is going to be a special night. I heard a little bit of you talking with Alex about, you know, where he's going to go, and at what number, and I know that that means a lot to a lot of people. And for me, just him being able to be in the NBA is just really a great accomplishment. And can't ask for a nicer, harder working kid. And when he was here for 4 years, I don't know why any NBA team wouldn't want somebody who, after everybody else is gone, he's still on the floor working. First one on the floor, last one off the floor, in the summer, in the off season. He would come back, make sure it was okay. Of course, here's a key, Romeo. Go look, get yourself in the locker room. And he'd be out there working for hours and hours. And it's such a nice kid and such a hardworking kid. I would think that every NBA team would be just waiting for to make that selection.
There are a few people in the draft that Romeo's the only one I know. But just looking at them when they're being interviewed, when they're playing the game, Romeo and Zion are two people that really could have a major impact on whatever community they're in because they like dealing with people. Zion, I could see him being the face of the community. Romeo the same way. Watching that young man sit at a table for an hour and a half, 2 hours, signing autographs, standing up, putting his arm around grandma's to have his picture taken, and doing it week after week, home and away, they're getting more than just a player wherever he ends up, I think.
That's a great way to put it, and I agree. And I think that the NBA is a big push right now to be community-minded, and you can't ask for any more as far as community-minded than Romeo Langford. When he was at New Albany, whether it's a visit at the hospital or even birthday parties, he was willing to attend and to help and to promote, and it's just a genuineness, I guess, more than anything. It's not like he was just putting on, airs to look at me, I'm doing this. No, he enjoyed that. You could just see with the line. It's not like he would quickly sign. The line goes all the way down the hall and past my office, and it's not like he would just sign very quickly to get people out. He would stop, take pictures, and talk to them. And I would think that you're exactly right. The communities would really be a benefit with him in that community.
The one thing that surprised me, I swear I saw the same people in line week after week. I'm not sure what you do with that many autographs and pictures, but maybe they've got a plan. I don't know.
And I think they just wanted to talk to him because he would talk back. He would talk to him and be just as genuine as could be. And I think that was just the draw.
The Romeo years here for you, I know, added some extra challenges as far as running games and events. As I sit here, we're at the doghouse today live for the program. I think about the ESPN game, which is something that you never think your local high school will participate in and host a game that is on national television, and so many other moments with crowds and tickets being trying to locate through alternative means and autograph lines. Those were challenges for you guys to manage as well.
It was a lot of fun, but it was a challenge at times. I know we had to put out just on a regular game. Let's say the JV game would start at 6. We had to put on the paper and social media for fans to please don't line up before 2:35 because we had to get all the buses out and the kids out to the buses, and because that's what would happen. As soon as the buses rolled in, our people would start lining up at like 2:45, and it would go down the street, curl around Locust, and it was just, I don't know if we'll ever see anything like that again. It was just amazingly special.
Wow.
The Damon Bailey years at Bedford, I was able to watch and experience from a distance. The Romeo years, I got to see firsthand every game, and both were just amazing. You just don't realize what can happen when you have a player of that caliber.
Exactly. Lee, never in my 20 years, we never had to pre-sell tickets to games like in Evansville and Indianapolis. But we realized after the very first, I remember the first away game to Evansville-Harrison, and I had people calling because Evansville-Harrison was saying that it was going to be sold out. So, then I I had to call them and say, hey, you need to get me some tickets. I mean, you can imagine our fans, I have a great fan base anyway, our fans driving to Evansville, parents driving to Evansville, and getting there and not being able to get in the gym. I mean, it just, usually, that it's half, it's going to be half full or half empty, whatever you want to say.
There's one thing I've never seen before. I have never seen a player on the road where the opposing fans give him a standing ovation when he dunks. I've never seen that. Normally you get booed or you get overrated. Heard that right at Madison. I'll never forgive those people. But I have never seen fans stand up and applaud a dunk by an opposing player.
And you know, they would also. We talked about the table and the lineup for autographs here. But it also happened on the road, which is absolutely amazing. I mean, they would have a table. They would come and ask, if we just put a table here, would that be okay? And, of course. And then they would have a line across the gym. I know Jennings County used their auxiliary gym, and Romeo would sit at the table even on away games and sign for hours. Scottsburg, I know, was another one that stands out, that it was a long line across the gym. And I mean, that's just, I mean, you can see our fans, but like you said, they not only cheered for him, they wanted to talk to him and get autographs too. Yeah. It was the whole Indiana thing. It was just a phenomenon that will never exist again, I guess. I guess it's possible, but I don't know if I'll ever see it.
I agree. Don Unruh, outgoing New Albany athletic director, former basketball coach. We just happened to catch you coming through the gym and glad to have you on. Congratulations again on the award from the News and Tribune earlier this week, and thanks for sharing some memories and a few moments with us today.
Thanks, Matt. I appreciate it. And Lee, of course, it was good to see you guys. I came in the gym as a little surprise, but it's a good surprise.
Absolutely.
And the award, it really means a lot. And like I said, I was humbled and honored. And yeah, I know that Lee was a recipient also of that award.
Yeah, I was getting ready to say, we're in B.J. McAllister just sat down with us, but we have a lot to accomplish, B.J. We've got two lifetime achievement winners with us. So congrats on
Thank
the
you,
retirement.
Thank
we
you.
Know you'll still be around, and maybe now we can get you on the radio a little bit more.
I'd like to do that.
All right, Don Unruh with Lee Kelly and I. We are here live at the Doghouse in celebration of Romeo Langford 2019 NBA Draft Day, and it's the last day of the Kentuckiana Summer Basketball League. I promise we're going to give you that schedule for those that may be interested in coming out here in just a little bit. We're also going to talk to Coach Unruh's predecessor. Is that right, predecessor? Am I using the right terminology there? Taking over his job, B.J. McAllister, coming up in the next segment. So stay tuned for that right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
You know, a basketball hero around here is treated like a god.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
You know, most people would kill to be treated like a god just for a few moments.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Final segment here on this Thursday edition of the Hoosier Report. Don Unruh, a Lee, great treat to have him with us. Did not expect that today. And from Coach Unruh to his successor, B.J. also is a former assistant basketball coach at New Albany High School and obviously was there during the Romeo Langford years as well. So, Coach McAllister, you are a fitting guest to have on this special NBA draft day as well. I think you probably had no surprise from your dealings with Romeo in practice and in games that this day was forthcoming one way or the other, that he had a great opportunity from the first moment you laid eyes on him to become a professional basketball player.
Yeah, you know, you try to think back when you really knew or when that moment was. And thanks, by the way, Matt and Lee, having me on. For me, it was, I believe it was probably about the fifth open gym right before fall break. Coach Shannon was in Texas visiting family, and Ed Schilling, who's now at IU, was in with UCLA. And, you know, some people had been in the gym or seen him on the AAU circuit, but we – divide up the teams and start playing, and you know, Romeo's just being Romeo, and we see him every day, so you kind of get for you take him for granted and how special he is. And you know, none of us had ever been around a caliber of that type, and so you're wondering, is he in the elite levels? Is he the top echelons of college basketball? Could he be a pro? Anyway, Long story short, the game's like 9-0. Romeo's got – we're playing ones and twos. Romeo's like 4 or 5 from three, and, you know, he's doing what Romeo does. Long-range threes, creating separation, scoring in traffic over people. And Coach Schilling, I turn around, he's standing next to me on the sideline. He's like, hey, does he usually shoot like this? I'm like, yeah, he shoots it pretty well, Coach. He's like, I just seen him from NBA range. It's effortless. And he walks over and sits down for probably, it seemed like, 15 minutes. It was probably actually like 5. And he's back over, and he was like, you know, just oohing and awing. And so that was the time that you say, okay, this guy, UCLA, great program. At that time, they were ranked pretty high in the country preseason-wise. And you're like, okay, yeah, we're ready to roll here. He is really, really special, like we all think he is.
Talking with B.J. McAllister, New Albany's incoming athletic director. Let's talk about you for just a moment. This is a big change. You go from on the sidelines to running an athletic program. Talk about your new role that begins here officially really soon.
Yeah, I'm just sitting waiting for the bullets to start flying, I guess, so to speak. But, yeah, I mean, it's a huge job. You know, I'm now the 5th athletic director in the history of the school, following Don. So, one, that tells you the quality of people that's been before you. It also lets you know that it's a really good job when done right, because of, you know, people stay in this job for a long time. And so whenever you're replacing a legend like Coach Unruh, you know, my body of work, climbing the ranks of being and coaching, you try to find successful programs and then steal all that you can from them. And with Coach Unruh, you're like, okay, you're getting all these traits and hearing all these great things about him as he's retiring. And I'm trying to narrow it down and be like, what does he do so well that's made continue to grow New Albany and make it so successful? And it's just, at the end of the day, he's just such a great man. He's just a really great person, and he treats every sport like it's the marquee sport. Makes sure he is fair, and makes sure that every sport is evenly distributed, so to speak. And the one thing I've learned really quickly is when you're the athletic director, you're always in season. It's everybody's season, and you know, whereas basketball, you can kind of forecast where, okay, this is in-season problems, that's out-of-season problems, these are issues that could come up, this could be, well, when you're an athletic director, there could be a transportation issue every day, or, you know, a budget question or something like that.
B.J. McAllister, New Albany's new athletic director. I think you take over officially with your duties on July 1st. I know we'll have a number of conversations forthcoming, but thanks for dropping by with us today as we wrap things up, and glad to be in the doghouse doing the show today.
Oh, absolutely. Happy to have the Hoosier Report in the doghouse. Appreciate you guys coming in.
And let's real quickly run through the schedule. 12:30, these are Kentuckiana Summer Basketball League games. 12:30, Indianapolis North Central takes on New Albany. 1:30, Indianapolis North Central against Floyd Central. Indianapolis North Central again at 2:30. They take on Silver Creek, so coming down to get a good dose of Southern Indiana opponents. Later in the day at 3:30, there are a few varsity games. Floyd Central against Marshall County, Kentucky, who has Zion Harmon, a very highly heralded recruit for Marshall County. Also at 3:30, Meade County and Shawnee. At 4:30, Silver Creek and Butler. 2 varsity games at 5:30, North Harrison, Marshall County, and Charlestown, Jeffersontown. 6:30, North Harrison, Butler. 7:30, 2 varsity games, Crawford County and Charlestown. Also Meade County and Jeffersontown. And the varsity action wraps up tonight for the whole summer. 8:30, Crawford County and Kentucky Country Day. That's going to wrap things up for this Thursday edition of the program. My thanks to Lee Kelly, who is always with me for the Thursday show. That'll wrap it up. Be back with you tomorrow here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.